Welcome to the Block on the podcast of Youth Express. Our theme this month is Black Girls Matter. I'm Shania Brimich, and I'm a senior at City Charter High School. Joining me today is...
I'm Mandiah Fielder. I'm also a senior at City Charter High School.
Jocelyn Dominguez from South Hills Middle School.
Khalees, I'm a sophomore at Obama Academy.
Anwara, I'm a sophomore at Oakland Catholic High School.
Rosie, I'm a sophomore at Oakland Catholic High School.
Jonathan Dominguez from South Hills Middle School.
Allie, I'm a senior at Obama Academy.
Today's hot topics are, as usual, interesting and also controversial. We have two topics on two different levels, politicals and media. A few weeks ago, Donald Trump's rally in Chicago went from organized and scheduled, and then he canceled it. Jonathan and Khalees will give you the scoop.
So a big thing in the news has been Donald Trump and like all the controversy with his rallies. One of the most popular ones was the Chicago rally on March 11th. It eventually was canceled because of all the violence that was going on. Donald Trump said he was scared and canceled the rally. He said originally that he consulted with the police about the rallies and they talked to each other and they decided it would be best to cancel it. But Chicago's police eventually said that they were not consulted about anything. It was supposed to be held at the University of Illinois, but faculty at the university came out and said like they wanted to be known that they do not agree with everything he has to say, that the whole college does not agree with his views. And another one of his rallies that were also big was the Fayetteville, North Carolina rally. While Rakeem Jones, a protester, was being escorted out, he was punched in the face by John McGraw, a Trump supporter. And then McGraw later said that next time we see him, we might have to kill him, referring to Rakeem Jones. And the big question is, why is Donald Trump invoking all this violence? Like, what is he saying? And you look up at his beliefs and you can't find one solid point except his views on ISIS, immigration, and Muslims. Aside from that, he's all over the place with everything. And most of his views on like ISIS, immigration, Muslims tend to be hateful views. Like he said before, we're going to bomb them, we're going to bomb them. And you just like wonder like where his supporters come from and what are they thinking in their head if he's coming out and say we're just going to bomb them.
Donald Trump tells Black Lives Matter protester to get the hell out. What I think of that is all wrong, and all he cares about is making a wall between Mexico and the United States. He wants Mexico to pay for the wall, even though he is the one who wants it built.
Also in the news this month, controversy around the misrepresentation of the late singer Nina Simone in the upcoming biopic starring Zoe Saldana. Here's Rosie with a little more on this hot topic.
Zoe Saldana, who is going to be starring in the Nina Simone biopic, she's 37 years old and she's Dominican-American. And Simone's daughter has publicly denounced the film and saying, "There are many superb actresses of color who could more adequately represent my mother, and Nina, in my opinion, doesn't do that." To me, Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone is a blatant example of whitewashing in Hollywood, as well as colorism in our communities. And Nina's work was specifically influenced by her experience in being a dark-skinned Black woman in America and existing outside of white America's and also Black America's standard of beauty. I think it's a slap in the face to her struggle as a Black woman and disrespectful to her art that was directly affected by her Black features in general. And her skin isn't just a small detail in her work.
I know one actor right away that popped in my head, or actress, that could have played Nina Simone was Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. I'm sorry, I don't know her actual name. I just know her as Crazy Eyes. But I know she would just be, like, the perfect person to play her. She's an amazing actress. No hate against Zoe Saldana. I like her as an actress, but this just isn't her role.
I think even, like, Viola Davis could have played her really well. I think there's so many other... I think the problem isn't with Zoe Saldana. I think it's... a matter of there's like other women that could be playing these roles, and there's constantly this need for people who aren't completely Black. Like there's always got to be something that we're mixed with in order for us to be talented or good people. I think it is disrespectful to use her as the main actress or to even think that that would be a good idea, because that role could be played by so many other people. I think that's the thing that rubs me the wrong way.
Some of the biggest Black actresses out now are dark skinned. Played his role amazingly, but it's Hollywood and nerve frame on everything.
If you've seen a picture of Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone, you would know that they had to do a lot of things to make her look like Nina Simone when they could have just found an actress that already looked like her.
All right, we could talk about these provocative topics all day, but we're going to move on to our next segment, which is Black Excellence, and Indaya is going to help lift us up a little with that.
So August Wilson, he was born April 27th, 1945 in Pittsburgh Hill District. He died on October 2nd, 2005. He wrote a series of 10 plays and received 2 Pulitzer Prizes for drama. His most famous plays were Fences, The Piano Lesson, Ma Rainey Bottom, and many more. Years ago, Denzel Washington and Viola Davis starred in his play Fences on Broadway. Wilson was remembered saying that he would only want his plays to go forward as films only if they had a black director, much like the original 1987 Broadway production. Today, Denzel Washington will now be partnering with HBO to turn all 10 of his plays into films within the next decade. The first film is Fences, which will be in production April 15th to June 10th on the Hill District, which was the original setting of the original play. This is excellence because Denzel is taking initiative to bring something August left behind and bring it to life. He is staying true to the location and is paving way for a lot of African-American actors and many other people in the Pittsburgh area.
All right, our next segment is going to be our education justice, and me and Anwara will introduce this. So on May 13th, Ashlyn Avery fell asleep while reading a book in class when her supervisor threw a book at her to wake her up. When he told her to leave, she proceeded to do so, and then her face was slammed against a filing cabinet by a police officer and was arrested. The amount of force was definitely unneeded.
The expulsion rates are disproportionate between black and white students. On February 4th, 2015, girls of color face much harsher school discipline than their white peers. Overall, colored students are excluded from current efforts. In New York, it is 10 times more, and in Boston, it is 11 times more disciplinary cases than whites.
I wanted to say that a lot of schools don't really celebrate Black History Month like they should have, so I wanted to give Yin some insight on how. Okay, so our school does not necessarily celebrate Black History Month, but our history is based off of Black history. We, the students at the school, are trying to create a Black student union through Team Block, and some efforts are made to help support African-American students.
I know at my school, I go to Obama, and we made Black History Month really huge this year. Normally, we don't exactly celebrate. We might have a couple of announcements on the intercom in the morning about pretty much the same black people we hear about all the time because they're apparently the most important and the only important people. But this year, we decided to talk about people who are actively doing things in the black community now. And we also decided to rep our pride in different ways. We had a red, black, and green day, the black pride colors. We also had an open mic called Poetic Injustice, and we had about 120 people come out. It was really successful. We made a lot of money. And all of the proceeds went to our fundraiser, Justice for Janice, which it is Janice T. Jackson. She was murdered this passing January. She was a mother of 3, and she was leaving a bar from Homewood whenever her murderer, Charles McKinley, followed her out of the bar after she rejected his sexual advances. He led police on a high-speed chase, but now remains in custody until his trial, and he's pleading not guilty. And I think that the reason why he can get away with things like this and the reason why a lot of people get away with things like this is because there's a culture that protects men specifically and protects violations against women's rights. And I think that a really huge thing in our Black Student Union and what we're doing for Black History Month was highlighting how much we are proud of our black women. And I think it's really important that our co-presidents, 3 of us, me, Kat, and Atana, we're all black women, and we represent really well. It's become a problem in our school, and it's sort of changed like the feeling of not only our school, but our Black Student Union, how people think about us. There's a weird shift in energy. And recently, one of our co-presidents, Kat, she ended up being threatened by a boy in our school. And administration didn't exactly do the best in handling it. One of our administrative leaders made Kat apologize for provoking his anger. And I think that kind of terminology and that kind of language and sort of like feeds into that culture that it's okay to do things to women and that it, hurting women is justifiable if you find the right reasons or find the right causes, you know, and that we are constantly having to apologize for our existence and the things that we do and also apologize for our anger. And that's why our Black Student Union is sort of taking what happened with our Black History Month and now fueling it into what we're doing, well, what we did for March. March is almost over, but what we did for March, which was March Madness, sort of addressing our anger. We made sure that we called attention to it, and right now we're sort of struggling. We have a battle between the people in our school. There's feelings between the Black men and Black women in our school that we're sort of working on addressing and figuring out how we can deal with it, but it's really tough whenever administration isn't exactly on our side about it. I know right now we're having trouble even communicating with some of them, so I think it's just really important that we start having conversations in our schools about structures that hold back Black women every day.
I wanted to touch base on when Allie talked about there's a culture that protects men. We talked about similar issues at our school. So, like, if you talk about campus rape, usually it's blamed on the victim, saying, like, what were you wearing? What were you doing? Were you drinking too much? Who are you with? Why weren't you paying attention to you? But really, it's not the victim's fault. It's the rapist's fault. And then in some schools, if you report it, they might not do anything. You might actually have to have therapy with your rapist and the therapist. That's not helping you. That's more traumatizing to the victims. So that's why some people who are raped on a college campus, they don't go for it with any effort to even tell anybody because they know what can happen. They know it's going to be blamed on themselves and not the person who did it. So I think there is definitely a culture that protects men, and men can get away with a lot more than what women can and than what they actually should be able to get away with.
Kat having to apologize is completely ridiculous. I don't know how she did it. How is she forced to apologize after she was threatened? In what world does that make sense?
That don't make sense.
If you were threatened, the person who threatened you should be apologizing to you for the threats. I mean, I'm not going to apologize to anybody who's threatened me. If I didn't provoke you, you're just mad because of who I am. I can't help who I am. You're just going to have to deal with it and my beliefs and everything. So you're not going to, I'm not apologizing to you after you threatened me.
I think it's really interesting some of the things that this person has said over time and some of the things that the administration has said. So mm-hmm. I think one interesting thing I think he said was, I'm a Black man and that's why I should be leading the Black Student Union. And I think we walk on eggshells when we talk about Black women leading things compared to Black men, because Black men are supposed to be these leaders and Black women are supposed to support them and hold them up. And I think that was pretty interesting. And I also think what was interesting was one of the administrative leaders, she said, there's no way he could do this. And I think also it's interesting, the reason why she had to apologize was for provoking his anger. I think we don't pay enough attention to how we could sort of teach our young Black men specifically how to deal with situations better rather than having Black women constantly apologize. And also, I think it's funny how that he could never do this goes into sort of the context of, if you change this around to the situation with Ms. Jackson, it sort of promotes that rape culture and promotes that protection. There's no possible way this good boy could even do this instead of sort of acknowledging that there is this culture.
And for Obama to have such a strong presence of Black women, it's extremely surprising if you're just going to bring us down. Like, the administration themselves should be doing something to bring us up. We have a strong presence of Black female students. Why, if majority of administration is Black women, why aren't you, like, listening to Kat and listening to her struggles instead of saying, oh, he's not the type of person that will do this, he's not going to go through it? Well, obviously he is the type of person who will do it if he said it to her that I'm going to do it. Even if he didn't go through with the threats, you still threatened her. Administration, I'm not even going to say at Obama, administration everywhere has to do a better job of just recognizing that there aren't only Black men in the world. There are also Black women, and you can't just keep throwing us to the side for everything.
And dismissing our feelings as if they're not there, and dismissing the fact that there is a constant threat to us, which is going back to Monique Morris's book, Push Out. And I think that administration should actively press this issue, create conversations in schools, especially between Black men and Black women. That includes all Black men and Black women. I love one of the lines she used at her conference. She said, we need to stop depending on respectability politics and start respecting. And I think if we can bring like a new culture of respect into the schools, then we can finally start moving forward, and then we can actually utilize Black History Month as the thing that it needs to be used as.
It sounds like some schools are condoning violence, and how are you supposed to feel safe in your own school if you're the one who has to apologize for being threatened And in Monique Morris's talk, she talked about how schools need to be co-constructors of safety, and how can they be co-constructors of safety if they are condoning violence on Black women.
So I personally feel that City High, they don't really deal with this situation. Certain situations, they try to like diffuse a little bit instead of taking it to somewhere like it should be, but they don't want it to be there. They'll have a sit down talk with like the two students or something like that, but I don't think it actually helps the situation. Okay, we're going to talk because you're telling us to, but that's not diffusing the situation. We just don't want you to talk to us. That's what it is. They don't pay attention to the things that should be happening. They're focused on people getting their education. So when stuff happens like that, they don't want to suspend the person because they want them to be in school. Mm-hmm. So they try to talk out the situation when it should be what really needs to be done.
I think also that's a result of like not wanting to acknowledge that this is a systematic push out. I think it's sort of just trying to pretend that these are isolated cases where men are threatening women, or there's situations where men fill other roles that women could be playing because they're respected more, things like that. And we can start to actually educate ourselves and worry about school after we can sort of acknowledge that.
I wanted to touch on something that Shania had said about our school. There was an incident when a girl was being harassed online by a boy in our school, and he was out of school for a good trimester, which is about 3 months. So that means that they handled the situation. They made sure they weren't in the same team anymore. A team is like a class. We call them teams at our school, just to be clear.
I think that's amazing, which I like that. I don't think we should wait until things happen and then punish. I think we should start teaching young women and young men to respect each other equally before these situations happen. And I think the problem is that a lot of young men don't deal with as much harassment in the way that women do on a daily, and so they don't quite understand it. And when we don't acknowledge it, then we can push it back and pretend it never happened. And then when we also don't acknowledge it, we can start blaming other girls for the reasons why things happen. Like, oh, of course, Kat, she deserved it. And that's where that culture builds. I think we need to stop waiting until things happen and start nipping it at the bud.
So, Ali, I kind of agree with you and disagree with you on your last thing. Yeah, it is good that they addressed the topic and the issue, but the fact that they suspended him for 3 months, 3 months is a long time to be missing school.
That
and
is.
I'm not saying anything he did was right. If you're arresting her online, that's completely wrong. But the school, I don't know, you could have done something else aside from suspending him for 3 months.
Right, I feel you.
When you're out of school that long, they City High will transfer you to alternative school, or they will transfer you to a online school until your suspension's up. But it will stay on your record till you graduate.
I think that it's a good thing that he left the school. And at first, I understand why you say that, because I think there's a different way to handle situations. I think rehabilitation and like shifting the culture is extremely important. But I also think if whoever was harassing her is in school with her every day, that can, one, be dangerous, and two, be... I can imagine her feeling extremely uncomfortable every day. Mm-hmm. And I think it is important that he was removed from the space because of the situation. If it was a different situation, I don't know if suspension would have been the right option. But I think it's really important that she didn't have to see the person who harassed her every single day in school.
Well, say like your school isn't like City High. They don't give you like an alternative to school. What would the punishment be? In regular schools, when you're suspended, you go home. Your parents may not do anything about it. They may not punish you. You sit there all day, maybe watch some movies or something. Like, it's basically vacation, and you feel like you almost got away with what you did. But I feel like if there's a punishment inside school that teaches you what you did was wrong, then you won't be able to get away with it as often.
I know with long suspensions, even in, like, city school, Pittsburgh public schools, you'll be sent to Lecce. I don't know the correct name for Lecce, but like even with long suspensions, you're not like at home for long, but like 3 day suspensions, you're just home, not doing anything. But like if your parents, I know when I got suspended, I just did work the whole time because my parents weren't with that. Schools are often 50-50 what they're like repercussions. They can either do the right thing or they can do it completely wrong. I just think sometimes they don't understand how the new generation works. And like, most kids, if you're the type of kid that keeps getting suspended all the time, they're like, oh, another 3 day suspension. I don't care. I'm not having to be here and doing work. So I just think they have to, like, think about it in a new way and try to understand how we work.
All right. Now that we're done with that segment, we're going to move on to commentary with Indaya Fielder.
So the commentary I chose today was natural hair politics. Many black people are now embracing their natural hair. Sometimes it can be inspired by celebrities and friends. Some people do go natural because they are trying to do something different and something that is more than just a haircut. It's a way to embrace who you are instead of hiding it and changing it. I know personally for me, I begged my mom to give me a perm in fourth grade. She was so against it. Finally in fifth grade, after me begging, she did so. For me, going natural was a way I embraced my natural beauty and who I was. When I would wear my hair out, I would feel empowered and liberated. I feel as though it is sad that natural is even considered a thing opposed to wearing weave. All hair types are beautiful. There is no such thing as bad hair or unnatural hair. If it is growing from your scalp, embrace it, love it, show it.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on natural hair, Ndaya. It's time for our creative space in the show. We call this segment Expressions because it's space to do exactly that. Express your thoughts on a subject in spoken word, poetry, rap, or whatever form you want to do it in. If you're interested in your talent being featured on a future podcast, you can just hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. This month, our very own Allie is here to share her piece, Teach Me Silence.
Okay. Okay, this is called Teach Me Silence. Teach Me Silence. Teach me how to origami fold my tongue into the back of my mouth and swallow. I've never feasted on anything quite as frightening as my own muteness. Teach me silence. Teach me how to wash my skin of this disobedience. It stings. I'm a prisoner of the shell. This shell is a prisoner of fraudulent freedom. This mouth has a barcode on it. This back bears a price tag. These hands, indebted to you before I was even born. This name, a sorry excuse of rape and rope burn. I wouldn't dare pledge my allegiance to murderers. Rest in peace to my freedom of speech. My eulogy will be dip-dyed in Powhatan blood and unheard screams. Theft. Drill a hole in a ghetto dust belt and find diamonds. When you find them, rip them right out of the ground, right from under the people's feet. Rip them like you rip the roots. Hard to remember what was even there before. Teach me silence. Teach me how to disassemble myself until I'm nothing but knees, kneeling for you, no lips, teeth, or tongue. Don't you remember? I swallowed my anger a long time ago, before I even knew what decision I was making. It doesn't matter what I say, because in the third grade, they taught me how to sign on the dotted line. Black boy and black girl, know that when they tell you that you're too loud, they just don't want you to recognize the beauty in your base and the power in your pride. They don't want you to recognize yourself, because who has time for an opinion when you don't even know the face looking back at you in the mirror? They want to put a muzzle on your magic. Teach me silence. Teach me how to miss a home that I will never know. My history was left in a cotton field and deleted from Texas textbooks. Teach me silence. Boy, if you don't stop crying, I will give you something to cry about. Teach me silence. Boy, if you don't stop crying, Massa will give us something to cry about. Teach me silence. And know that I will. And know that every day that I wear this skin and say my name out loud is an act of defiance. Teach me silence. And I will rise from the dust and cover your lungs with this rich, thick blackness so that now and forever you know what I mean when I say I can't breathe. Teach me silence. But one day you will learn that blackness was made to be loud. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, before we close up, on April 15th, Alder Dice's Black Student Union is having an open mic at 6 p.m. at their school. All right, so that concludes our episode of The Block on Youth Express, recorded live from Saturday Light Brigade Studios. Special thanks to Team Block. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. You're listening to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to the youthexpress.org. Youth Express. Catch the future.